Please keep in mind, the views expressed on the Thin Men podcast reflect those of the hosts and the hosts alone. They are not necessarily representative of the Myrna Loy Center or its staff. Thank you.
Welcome to the Thin Men. I'm Biggs.
I'm Zach.
Zach has joined us from beyond the grave tonight. Not feeling so well, but he's here to review two movies.
That's right. I fought the Crypt Keeper just to get here.
So we got Son of a Gun.
And A Most Violent Year.
So without further delay, let's begin.
I close my eyes and dream of one. The one I love so dear. And now I am old and lonely too. I'd love to have her near. The girl I left behind.
So the first movie we're going to do tonight is Son of a Gun. This is one that I actually got to sit in and watch.
Yay.
So this is Ewan McGregor's most recent movie, I believe.
That's right.
Essentially, he plays an outlaw in Australia who's, I guess, a bank robber.
Yeah.
It seems like he kind of runs a gang of thugs.
Jesse James style.
Yeah.
Like him and his roving pack of bandits.
Now, I don't know the main actor's name in this movie.
Brenton Thwaites is his name.
He winds up going to prison. I don't remember if we established why he's in prison. But he very quickly winds up hooking up with Ewan McGregor through basically pointing out a couple of moves that he could do in chess where he's about to be defeated. And there's definitely like a chess motif that goes through this movie.
Very much so.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is about looking a move or two ahead.
It's almost a little heavy-handed.
Yeah, well, especially when they keep playing chess. Yeah,
exactly. If it was just one or the other, it would be much more artistic, I think.
Yeah, so the a lot of these movies we've covered, I think all of them really for the Thin Men have been really original kind of movies. There's not really a lot of originality that runs through this. It's strictly like a heist genre movie.
Exactly.
With a little bit of a prison escape movie, because I'd say one third of it is escaping from prison.
Yeah.
And then the last two thirds is a heist movie. It's a good genre film. I mean, like, it's definitely something that I enjoyed watching.
I've been describing it as a good example of the type of movie as it is. But if you don't like that kind of like action crime movie, this is not going to be the movie that changes your mind about it.
Yeah, it's really not. I mean, like a movie that might change your mind with the heist movie, maybe something like Ocean's 11, because it's so damn charming.
Sure.
You know, and it's a lot of people that you recognize. There's not a lot of people you'll recognize in this movie. There's a couple. But
it's basically just Ewan McGregor for most people.
They make an unusual choice in this, in that it takes place in Australia, but two of the three leads are not Australian.
Yes.
And don't even try and do an Australian accent. And I don't think they ever even try to.
No, they don't. There's no, it's very like 80s action movie in that sense, where it's just like, listen, this like is what they sound like and you accept it.
Yeah, like 90% of Schwarzenegger's movies.
Exactly.
I can only think of two where they ever really explained his accent.
Or any Van Damme movie. They just,
yeah.
You just accept it.
Yeah, you just accept it. If I had any criticism of this movie, it'd probably be that, is that it does throw you off a little bit, where you're like, why is he Scottish? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, if it had leaned on that a little more as a trope and had a little bit more tongue-in-cheekness playing with that, it might have been something. But as it was just distracting.
Yeah, all they had to do is make one little joke about it, and it would have been fine, I think. A good example for a movie like that, from the 80s, actually, Short Circuit.
Oh.
They had a very white person playing an Indian guy in one part, and then they ask him where he's from, and he goes, oh, Pittsburgh. So, you know, you just need one little joke just to.
There's actually a trope for that in writing. It's called lampshading, where you know something is sort of inherently ridiculous and you point it out within it, so that you basically you're telling the reader you're in on the joke.
Yeah, and
it's fun little trope.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that puts the audience at ease. But nope, I made up a story in my head that he pulled so many heists in Scotland and went across Europe until finally went to Australia because it was the last place he could go, and then he got busted. That was the story, the backstory I ran in my head.
Oh, I actually could really run with that, I think. Yeah. And be happy with it in that movie.
There was no such backstory in this movie, though. The only backstory we really know about him is that everybody seems to know who he is, but nobody ever explains why. But it's obviously for nefarious things.
Yeah, it's not because he gives candy out at children's shelters.
And Ewan McGregor's character is the type of person that he suffers no fools. Like, if somebody lies to him, it's game over right there. As soon as he finds out, it's just...
he's cutthroat.
Yep, there's a guy who helps him escape the prison and finds out something about why the guy got in prison. He just immediately beats the crap out of the guy and just throws him by the side of the road and tells him he's on his own.
He's not messing around in this movie. He's serious business.
Yeah, and so our main character, he winds up in a love triangle. Ewan McGregor had put together this crew that broke out of prison specifically for the purpose of stealing these gold bars. And this guy happens to have a girl. I don't know if we really know the relationship between him and this woman.
Yeah, it's sort of foggy.
Yeah, it's almost like he wants her to tempt people in the group, but yet he doesn't want her to be with people in the group. I don't really understand.
Yeah. It.
There's a lot of like kind of ambiguity in this movie.
Very much so.
Now, that being said, still a fun ride.
Yes, it's a very entertaining movie. This is more straight-up entertainment than most.
You don't get a lot of those movies at the lawyer where don't think about it too hard. Just enjoy this one. Yeah.
I call them the palate cleansers. I have to schedule something like that periodically just to bring everything back to a nice rest. It's like if you work in a flower shop all the time, you aren't going to appreciate the beautiful flowers you see in nature. You know, you have to reset every now and then.
Yeah, like Tusk, when you guys had Tusk.
That was a palate cleanser.
So the main character is basically he's torn between getting a lot of money and not getting killed by Ewan McGregor and running off with this girl. And so he's trying to find the balance of getting a lot of money and running away with this girl. And at a certain point, Ewan McGregor makes it be known that he can't have both.
Yes, like you cannot have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah, he has to leave the girl. So the main character has to make this decision. In the meanwhile, there's a lot of gunfights. There's a lot of car chases and
action stuff.
Yeah, a lot of threatening people.
Yes, a lot of angry men sort of looking down and shouting with a fist raised.
Yeah, so
it's good stuff.
I don't know what else to say about this movie.
Yeah, like, listen,
it's pretty straightforward.
It really is. It's straightforward. It's entertaining. And at this time of year, I think we need a little bit of that to escape from the Mordecais of the world.
You say that as if I got trapped in Mordecai. Like, I think I saw a poster two or three times. That was my run-in with Mordecai.
And you'll be glad to keep it that way, won't you?
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm not watching that. I am not watching any Johnny Depp movie unless somebody's being turned into a walrus. Like, that's where I'm landing on this.
By J.C. Chandor called A Most Violent Year. J.C. Chandor did All Is Lost with Robert Redford and Margin Call.
The Lost at Sea movie.
That's right. So he's covered the gamut. And This movie it takes place in 1981 New York City, which was the most violent year on record in New York. And it's about a man named Abel Morales and his wife Anna. And Abel owns a company called Standard Oil, and he's trying to sort of stay in legitimate business and stay out of violence in a world controlled by the mob. And
is this based off a true story?
No, it's
wasn't
based.
Standard Oil actually a company?
It is, but he's not a real guy.
Okay, all yeah. right. That's what threw me off, because I mean, weren't they the ones that got their monopoly knocked out from under them?
That's right. This is very much a morality tale. And in fact, there's a word I'd use to describe it. It's not as good as this film, but in terms of its themes and tone and aesthetic, you're going to like this. This is going to be a good sell for you.
Okay.
It's Godfather-esque.
Ooh.
It's very much in that lane. It's not as good as The Godfather because very, very few things are.
Yeah. Godfather 2 is about the only thing.
But that's right. But this is a very, very good movie. Oscar Isaac is great in the lead. His character is like a slightly more talky version of Ryan Gosling's character in Drive.
Okay.
But the real highlight of this movie is Jessica Chastain. Jessica Chastain is like 5 fire emojis in this movie. Like she is incredible. And she got shafted for not getting nominated. I don't care if it's actress or supporting actress. She needed to be in somewhere.
Which
she is
would you
so
say she
good.
Is?
In reality, I'd say she's a leading actress.
Okay.
I think for Oscar purposes, they probably would have tried to slide her into supporting.
Okay, well, then they should have.
Yeah.
I touched on this last episode. I won't call out names for who should be, but there are 2 names that should be knocked off. And so I think we found the second name that could be slotted in.
That's right. We've now refilled it and we've fixed this.
Shame on you, Academy Awards.
But seriously, Jessica Chastain, normally I would go more into the detail of the plot and the story. I don't want to because I want you to see it because I really think you'll like this movie. I think this movie will resonate with you because of the themes and tones and aesthetic. But her performance it's the best work I've ever seen her do. She is so good in this movie.
Well, what kind of things do they give her to do in this movie?
She is very sneaky.
Okay.
She's very bright, very cunning. But the way Jessica Chastain plays it is she doesn't totally come off as like manipulative or anything like that. She comes off as very playful in her cunning. I don't want to give anything away. No, it's interesting, but
so
it is also
a kind of sleight of hand movie.
No, it's not super tricksy.
Okay.
It's much more of a morality tale.
Okay.
Like the character's name is Abel. The main character is Abel Morales, which are basically the 2 themes of the movie: Abel, like ability, and morals. So like this is very sort of like high concept.
Is her name like Tricky Slicer?
No, she is Anna Morales.
Okay.
No, that it is smarter than it's a surprisingly smart movie that just is doubling down on its point.
Okay.
It's hard to talk about without getting into plot, but you need to see it first. Okay. I really think you'll want to talk about this movie.
How's the cinematography on it?
Very well shot. I'm pretty sure it's Roger Deakins. Let me double check, but I thought Roger Deakins did it. Oh no, it's not Roger Deakins. I've never heard of this man before. It's a man named Bradford Young who did it. He has done... Oh, the man who shot Selma.
Oh, well, he does an incredible job.
There you go. Good year for you, Bradford Young. Shout out to you. He also did Ain't Them Bodies Saints, which was a very good movie. And I have not seen anything else he's worked on. But hey, good year. Good year for Bradford. It's a very good looking movie. There's a lot of images that would look perfect as sort of like slice of life photography. And there's some really cool framed images. Like there's the shot of Oscar Isaac standing on top of his big truck that says Standard across the side. And it's the way it's composed is it almost looks like something a photojournalist would shoot. It's very good.
What's the feel of the movie?
Sort of a little grimy crime movie. You know, good man trying to stay good in a bad world, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How's it written?
Incredibly. So J.C. Chandor, he did Margin Call, which I remember reading the script was like 180 pages, which is bananas. And then he did All Is Lost with its, what, 7 words?
Yeah, there's not a lot of speaking in that movie.
No, so J.C. Chandor can cover the gamut. And
It is a Castaway without Wilson.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yep, and without the framing sequences.
Or without the opening or ending sequence.
Exactly, no framing
Redford
sequence.
Redford has nobody to talk to.
Redford is the man in that movie.
He's literally the man
yes.
in the movie.
The dialogue is really well done. It's very tightly paced. It's very pensive as well. There's a lot of short sentences packed with the very dense sentences, like working on one or two levels of meaning in a lot of scenes, especially towards the end of the film. It's a very subtle script, and it's closer to the, it's not so with Margin Call and All Is Lost representing the two extremes in terms of the amount of dialogue this guy can put in a movie. This is probably close to the middle, but on the All Is Lost side of the spectrum.
Okay. How's the music play into this?
Music was never really grabbed my attention. Now that I think it was more the characters than anything.
So no Foley work.
Nothing that particularly jumped out, which is also good because that means there wasn't like a banana peel splatting or anything.
Right.
So that means they stayed safe in the Foley work.
How did the best boy?
Oh, the best boy deserves one of the, you know, the night before the real Oscars, how they give like the you're the Uggos we're not putting on TV Oscars.
Yeah.
He's going to win one of those.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations, best boy of... what was it called again?
A Most Violent Year.
A Most Violent Year. All right. Do you got anything else to say about it?
People should see it, and we will probably talk about it more on Montucky Skies.
Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We promise we'll get you a longer episode next. Zach's just been a little bit under the weather. And
I'm a little loopy on account of the NyQuil, which is why I might not have made a ton of sense all the time.
Yeah, but we figured it was better to get a little short episode out than nothing at all.
Because
so.
We care about you.
So make sure to see Son of a Gun. I think it's getting held over for another week, right?
That's correct.
A Most Violent Year.
We'll also be around. Foxcatcher is still here. Whiplash's final showing will be, if you're listening this to the day we release it, Whiplash's final showing will be tomorrow, Thursday.
Oh, and I gotta say, if you haven't seen Whiplash,
come now.
Yeah, this is appointment viewing.
Come
now. It may not win Best Picture, although it could. There's an interesting way that they vote for the Oscars. It very well could win the Best Picture. I think it's gonna be Birdman. But this is a movie, this is a potential life-changing movie. You need to see this movie.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah.
So good. Also, on Thursday, which would be February the 12th, we will have at the Myrna Loy Center, Billy Childs, the 4-time Grammy Award winner, Billy Childs, who just this past Sunday won the Grammy for Best Arrangement, Instruments, and Vocals, New York Tendaberry, which is
yeah.
a song he wrote. Good job, Billy. He's a pianist. He's widely respected in the jazz world. 4-time Grammy winner. Last time we had a Grammy winner at the Myrna, they let me hold it.
Stay listening.
Hey, man. Thanks for coming out to meet me. I've just been so down lately.
No problem, man. What's the matter?
It's so hard to talk about. My batting average isn't quite what it used to be.
Your batting average?
My drive shaft doesn't have the kind of torque I'm looking for, if you catch my drift.
So you're feeling some depression from your erectile dysfunction?
Some? I'm only feeling depression from my erectile dysfunction.
You know, something that helps me is the Not Safe for Network.
The Not Safe for Network? What's that?
Not Safe for Network.
Side effects include blueberries. That's available. We had a good life. Montauk Disguise. Box Office Battle. Within Men. And shooting the show. Do not take Not Safe for Network if you're on Cialis, Viagra, on Legend, or Comedy Central commercials at 4 a.m.
Not Safe for Network.
Wow. My whole world is new. Thanks, Not Safe for Network.
Not Safe for Network. Putting the function back in erectile dysfunction.
Not Safe for Network.